Well, hello again, everyone. It's good to be back here in this place. One of the toughest questions asked of any clergy person or any Christian for that fact is the question, why? Why does a loving God allow suffering? Why do hundreds of people over the last few weeks have to die from things like hurricanes and flooding? Or tsunami, or tornado, or earthquake, volcano, any of the natural disasters that we can think of. This past week, we, of course, faced our own storm. There was probably not one of us that wasn't preparing in some form or fashion or another. As much as we like to think Florida is paradise, it's not. I love it. It's my home state, three generations deep, but the question of suffering can be answered in several ways. There is certainly the choices that we make ourselves, that is, that the abuses that we can bring about on our own bodies that can cause suffering. There is certainly the choices that others make to choose to do harm or evil to others. Or you can choose to disobey the laws set to protect society. That, of course, brings about suffering of some sort through penalty. But then there is the suffering that comes along that is simply caused by the state that we are in. That is a fallen world. It's easy to blame God for all of our issues. It's easy to say, if there is a God, why does this or that have to happen this way or that way? But we have to realize that we don't live in paradise. Mankind once did. But Genesis 3:23 tells us that God took them out of Eden, or paradise. But here's the great news. God never took his hand off of mankind. Time after time after time, God is always there with his hand on us. You can read through the Bible. Take Joseph, just for an example, through suffering and rejection of his brothers, became governor of Egypt and changed the course of history. Job, we learn that God is in control through our suffering, and learn to the valuable lesson that God is God and he is not. And they, even in our fallen state, we sit on this wonderful planet that goes through all kinds of shifts. It is constantly adjusting itself. And even cleansing itself. When continental plates shift, we get earthquakes or tsunamis. When core pressures have to exhaust, we get volcanoes. When weather cycles, we get blizzards and tornadoes and hurricanes, and it shifts every 10, 12, 13 years. Hurricanes are actually beneficial in cleansing the oceans and cooling the oceans and bringing water to drought-ridden areas. Whoever's in the path of that, though, wishes it would go in another path, right? But no matter where we are or live in the world, we are going to be affected by something. And it can be frightening at times. The other day, I sat in our house, and the storm was approaching, and I had flashbacks of my childhood. It was 1960, and I was 6 years old. Don't count, I'm 63. Hurricane Donna made a path above Cuba, and 57 years to the date as Irma, and within 5 or 6 hours of each other, took landfall in about the same place of Naples and Marco Island. Donna went up through the middle of the state over my hometown of Winter Haven in Polk County and back into the Atlantic, where it went up and hit New York. Irma went up and over my hometown again in Polk County, and the course went to the left and died. But there's more to my little testimony. My mother was a ER charge nurse at Winter Haven Hospital and got called in as an essential help during Hurricane Donna. We didn't have back then the notifications, the advanced notification. It was advanced, but not as advanced as today. So the ambulance had to come and pick her up in our front yard to take her to the hospital. And they got stuck because the lawn was so soggy, the ambulance got stuck. They sent out the National Guard to pull the ambulance out of the yard and then take my mother off to the hospital, leaving my brother, my dad, and I alone. Well, here we are 57 years later. My wife is a charge nurse in pediatrics at, and she was on the A-team of essential employees at Manatee Memorial. She had to report to Lakewood Ranch Hospital because Manatee, of course, was evacuated. Here I am thinking the irony and the flashbacks of my childhood and the fears that I had as a child. So I started doing dumb things around the house, like vacuuming. I thought, why am I vacuuming? If any number of things happens, it's just going to get wet and washed away anyway. So I sat down in the chair watching the weather reports on two or three different channels, like probably all of us. We never lost power at our house, so I had that capability. And I started praying. And you know what? There's a peace that settled in that was just wonderful. It's going to be okay. Every meteorologist I listened to said the same thing. The best scenario for the state is for it to go up the middle, and it will dissipate more quickly. The worst thing that could happen was it to skim either coast with 150 mile an hour plus winds. But no models were showing that. It was going to be on the west coast, and it was going to go inland around Tampa, right on top of us. But look what happened. It did come ashore in the south end of the state. The bottom half of the storm was sheared by the dry air. It sucked off the Gulf. The north portion pushed water. I don't know if you saw this. It pushed water out of the bays, out into the Gulf, and out of the rivers, out into the Gulf, which allowed the rain that was to fall to not flood as bad as it could have been had it not pushed that water out. Yes, there's a lot going on, a lot of damage done. Some people hurt, people died. But it could have been much, much worse, if you can imagine that. I heard three meteorologists on different occasions say this. Two said prayer had to play a part in this. The other said it's nothing short of a miracle as to what happened. Almost all of them said, I've never heard or seen anything like this happen when it shifted the way it shifted. But through all of that, something shines through. Hope, love, grace. And that is the point that I want to make for us this morning. As I look back over Houston and the devastation of Harvey that just sat there and dumped tons and tons of water on one city, or Irma with its winds, people began to reach out to people. The so-called Cajun Navy rolled in from Louisiana to assist in rescuing people trapped on roofs in Houston. People on dry land opening their homes up to others. I have a friend other than our family that lives in Houston, and their neighborhood was flooded, but their house was like a little oasis. It didn't get flooded. And my friend, our friend, who has medical needs, they have a generator in their house. And their house became a little oasis for neighbors to come and call friends, and so they could call their families and let them know that they're okay. We see reports all over our state where neighbor was helping neighbor. The other day, they were cleaning up our yard and putting plants back out of the garage on the front entryway of our house. But first, I wanted to pressure wash the area, which also led to pressure washing the sidewalk and leading to pressure wash the driveway. But when I pulled the pressure washer out, I gassed it up, and I couldn't get it started. I was sitting there cranking and cranking and cranking, and it wouldn't start. And my neighbor, just across, just like that, I didn't even have to ask, the neighbor across the street, who's the mechanic, came running across with a can of carburetor cleaner. And he opened it up, took the filter out, sprayed the carburetor, cranked it right up. You know, and you see all this all over. Some neighbors were meeting neighbors they've never met before. This is where true Christian character comes into play. Because you see, through these storms we have to face, suddenly it didn't matter what political party you belonged to. It didn't matter what nationality you were or what color your skin is. I don't say that everyone was behaving that way, because there were certainly looters and thieves and price gougers and all that stuff, but you still saw it. Neighbors helping and reaching out to neighbors. Paul, in his letter to the Romans that we heard today, was wrapping up his teaching on character. What truly drives us? And Paul centers on the word called love. He said, "Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law." You see, much of society and culture offers a shallow definition of love. Usually it is centered on self-gratification. But true love, love that is poured out by God himself, is pure. Go back and read the love chapter of 1 Corinthians that we read at every wedding almost. And it's really not about weddings. It's about how we live our lives. It's a wonderful verse, and that's why they read it at weddings. But it's how we live out our lives with one another. Love is a wonderful gift, and it is truly at the heart of who God is, and it is not shallow or self-serving. God's love has one goal in mind, to bring us closer to him through Christ by his Spirit. God's love should be at the center of our reaction and relationship to our fellow man, especially fellow believers. I believe somehow that love comes out, even sometimes when people don't know where it comes from, in times of tragedy, because we are made in the image of God. This kind of love means, as one commentary put it, to have the ability to look at ourselves and examine our own hearts, both as individuals and as a body. It is not self-serving, but humbling. For us as Christians, the love of God is vital in our life together and as individuals. Why? Because the very essence of God is what love is. If that wasn't true, he would then have dropped the human race when they were removed from the Garden of Eden. But God had a plan, and that plan was to offer a way back to him. And he did that through the ultimate love that he could offer, his own life in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, who came to us in human form, fully God, and became a sin offering for us, to offer us forgiveness. That's why in our lesson today, he stresses to go after our brother and sister who sins against you. Going to a brother or sister who has wronged you is not an act of Christian police force. Its sole purpose is to bring the one who has left back into the fold. The sole purpose is to go after the lost sheep, as Jesus spoke of just prior to this. The sole purpose is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and as a result of that, to love your neighbor as yourself. It is an all-encompassing purpose. God wants us to be in a right relationship with him. He is calling each of us to examine ourselves. Did you catch what God told Ezekiel in our Old Testament lesson? Those were powerful words and a powerful warning to Ezekiel. Listen again. This is what God is speaking to Ezekiel. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Boy, it was tough being a prophet. In other words, God is telling Ezekiel that he is responsible for the death of one who may have repented because of what God was trying to say to that person or group of people if Ezekiel refuses to give the word. That's a pretty heavy burden on Ezekiel, but it's also a powerful assurance of the ministry that he was given. Throughout the Old Testament, the way God spoke to his people was through the prophets he chose to speak. And they walked and talked under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And that same Spirit has been poured out on the church through Jesus Christ. That same Spirit empowers a preacher of the gospel to preach, and we had better listen. That same Spirit speaks to our heart and gives us the power to do his bidding to a troubled world. When whatever kind of storm comes into our midst, there would be priests who was teaching a young Sunday school class, and he held up a chocolate chip cookie and he asked, "If I took all the chocolate chips out of the cookie, what would I have?" 1 6-year-old girl raised her hand. She says, 7 less grams of fat. Well, I'll tell you what you didn't have. You don't have a chocolate chip cookie. When you take the very nature of God out of your body, out of the body of Christ, you no longer have a body of Christ. Each of you here today are special. Each of you here today has enormous potential to be part of something big, so big it's unimaginable. And no matter what condition you are in, God is bigger. He is bigger than the grudge that you have against someone. He is bigger than the sin that you may be struggling with or dealing with in your life. He is bigger than Harvey. He is bigger than Irma. And that was pretty big. I pray that all of us would examine ourselves and allow the very Spirit of God enter into those places that you are struggling with. Allow His love to make you whole. Allow His love to heal the wounds that you might be dealing with. Allow His love to renew you into someone special, because people of God, again, you are special. God has so much for you. And I too know that He has a special place for all of us here in this place, in this parish, in this community, in this city, in the state, indeed in our nation, in the body of Christ around the world. He is calling us to be an example, calling us to reach out to those with the love that He can only give. In this world, with all of its storms, by whatever means, God's love can shine through you. Are we willing to let that happen? We see it all over. I pray that God uses you in so many wonderful ways as you reach out to your neighbor, wherever that might be, at whatever time that might be. And that doesn't mean your neighbor next door, although it might. It means any time that the Lord puts somebody in your path that needs that touch of love from Him. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much that we are here. We thank You, Father, for all that You are doing. And there's so many people hurting, so many people without power, so many people still dealing with all sorts of issues. And as people reach out to them, Lord God, I ask You, work in those people's hearts and that are around them, as neighbor reaches out to neighbor, as Christians reach out. Lord God, I just pray that You would just move mightily. And may we be a witness to the world around us, Lord God, as we do reach out. May we share the gospel in a wonderful way, Lord God, as we walk through this together. And we thank You, Father. We give You all the honor and glory for who You are, what You are doing, and what You will continue to do in and through Your body, the church. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.